I feel like my eyes are blessed today to see all of you, to see what God is doing through his people, through Church of the Redeemer. And if I start calling out names, it will just be here all day, and we have time to fellowship after the service. But welcome. Thank you for being here, for those who've made a real trip and an extra time to do this. I've dreamed of this day. I wasn't sure, actually, that it would ever come about or how it would happen. But I know that it is important to celebrate. It's important to do things like this. And we do it every week in the liturgy. We celebrate. But this is a very specific kind of entering into a story that God has been writing in our lives. And in celebration, we remember, we observe, and we anticipate. We remember, we observe, and we anticipate. We've already been doing that together this weekend, for those of you who've been able to enter in already. And today in our worship is kind of a culmination of this time. Friday night was an amazing time of just getting together. We were in a local pub, kind of an Irish pub in Highwood, and there were a lot of people pressed in. It was a great time. It really got interesting, though, when Church of the Redeemer took over the karaoke. Really, it was amazing to hear that and to see that. And that's a kind of evangelism I don't think has been taught yet at Trinity, but I'm recommending it. Yesterday was a powerful day of gathering with those who are here, were able to be there, and also those who have returned, as we talked about what it is to send and to stay. I learned a lot, and I was able to give thanks a lot. And then now, today, we're taking some time to remember, to observe, and to anticipate. What I want to share with you today is actually a dream that I had. Now, I'm not placing it up alongside the scriptures, okay? Understand that. But we'll get to them. But first, I want to share with you a dream that I had on one of the first nights on my sabbatical in England this summer. It was June the 13th. And it was one of those kind of powerful, overwhelming narrative dreams that I don't know if you have. I have them quite a bit, but I don't get to talk about them. When I go to Rwanda, I talk about them quite a bit because there it's a normal thing. Here you talk about your dreams, people go, maybe you should go see somebody to talk about that. But this was one where I had to get up actually in the middle of the night and write it down. And also, I knew it was for today, so I've held it. I dreamt it was nighttime. It's usually nighttime in my dreams anyway. And I was driving through the forest in an old car, like a 1950s era sedan. It was a deep, dark, and overgrown forest, the gnarly trees and so on, the kind that one encounters in old tales. I was in a line of cars. I was passing through a small village of thatched roofed houses. And ahead of me, the cars kept slowing down to give something, I guess it was money, to the man who was standing by the side of the road. I was annoyed at this because, one, I was trying to get somewhere. I mean, I didn't know where it was, right? In dreams, you don't know, but I was trying to get to somewhere. And also that, you know, I knew that as a traveler in a strange place, I would probably also have to follow their example and stop and give money or whatever. And as I drove closer to this man, I slowed my own vehicle and I pulled to the side of the road a little bit before I got up there to try to reach for the smallest amount of money I could find. And I saw that the man ahead was not a panhandler. He was not a toll taker. But he had a table of goods that were for sale. There were textiles of various kinds, scarves, handbags, things that had purpose, but some that had no obvious purpose at all save their beauty. I was so intrigued that I actually stopped the car and I got out to look more closely, and the man welcomed me warmly, and he took me over and introduced me to his whole family that were sitting around. And they were all selling these beautiful items, and they invited me into their little hut. And they introduced me to one woman. She was part of this family by the roadside in the wood, and all the textiles were her handiwork. And the small house inside was completely covered, every square inch, with these beautiful works of art, textiles that she had done. Inside the house, there was just this amazing aura of beauty and love. And I asked her, I said, "You often make things for others and sell them?" And she said, "No." "Well, do you show what you've made at various festivals and events?" "No." I said, "Not even the county fair where you could display them and maybe even win a prize?" "No," came her answer. "I've never done such a thing," she said. "I only make them available from time to time when my family has a need such as today. Then I sell very few." I said, "You know, I have friends who are gifted at making many things. And they could introduce you to others who make things, and you could grow in your art and your craft, and you could display your work, and it would be a great joy for many people, as well as for you." She said, "Yes, but then I would have to sell them. Then I would have to let them go." "That's true," I said, "but you would not do that work alone, but with others who understand what it is to make and then to give away in love." And I woke up. And in my moment of waking, I thought of a real person, not in a dream, but a real individual, a man that I knew about, a very gifted artist who lives in Manitou Springs, Colorado. His name's Charles Rocky, and for more than 50 years, he's had a small, dusty art studio that is jam-packed with all of his work. He shows the paintings from time to time, but it's rarely available. You can really never buy his work. And in the shop, canvases are just piled on top of one another. And sculptures are stacked in the corner, and the little shop is full of masterpieces that no one will ever see. In my living room in Deerfield, I have a print of one of these paintings. And it's a beautiful scene of a creek that flows down the mountains and through the heart of Manitou Springs. And I have it because I like it, but also as a reminder of much that is hidden and closed off that could be of great beauty and joy to the world if it were only made available. Today we celebrate a gift that God has given to this church, probably to all churches, really, but we've entered into it in a particularly enthusiastic way, I have to say, like a child splashing about in the water. Really. It's the gift of nurturing and equipping and sending, opening up places of blessing and fruitfulness that have been closed off or filled in, just like Isaac opened up the wells that his ancestors had dug. Wells that had been polluted and stopped up by enemies. And those wells flowed again with life. Yesterday we had some marvelous conversation around the issues of sending and also staying and what that means for a community like Redeemer. Dr. Dana Harris was one of those who shared with us, along with Eric Spies and Michelle Becker and Dr. Scott McKnight, on a panel and really opened up to us some of these issues around staying and sending. And Dana unfolded scriptures for us that have to do with movement, God's own movement, and movement of the people of God, that God is not still, and that as his people, we are not still either. We're always being called to a new place, even if that's geographically right here. The place God is opening for us is always new. We can refuse, we can cling to what we know, or we can step out and follow. Jesus sends out the disciples. Paul and Barnabas are sent on mission from a church that would send many. We send from here, and today we have a number who've returned to help us celebrate and to thank God for what he's been doing in our midst from the moment Church of the Redeemer began. Even our story of worshiping in different locations as a church, and you know we've done that, that's a picture to us of that movement of following the Lord in diverse locations. As a former member, Rick Bailey, said to me yesterday, he said, Redeemer worships in a tabernacle, not a temple. And just as an aside for our vestry and our facilities team, I want you to notice what Isaac did, how many wells he had to dig before he found the right one. Right? All the wells where he went, where he had opposition. And it wasn't like, oh, God, you know, I must have made a mistake or heard you wrong. No, he was seeking to follow, and he went, but there was opposition, and so he moved on. And finally, he found the place. That's an encouraging word for us. The first words of our Old Testament reading today are as follows. So Isaac moved away from there. How well we understand the dynamics of moving. Some of us more than others. But it's part of our world. We're a mobile people. We have the freedom, usually. Many of us have the freedom to be where we wish, just to live wherever we want to live. But many in our world leave their homes against their will, driven out by war and disease and famine, and it's understood that God's people have always provided refuge for those in such situations. See, being sent is not just going away. We're moving. Okay, see ya. Being sent is not wandering off. It's moving with direction and intention, and also with love and care for others to the place where you're going, where God has called you to be. It's not a self-centered act, at least not in the way that God calls us to do it. When Jesus sends the 72, he tells them, don't move from house to house. Stay in one place. Receive. Give openly as workers of God's own kingdom. To go in this way is to move from being a wanderer to being a pilgrim, on a journey to a holy place. Frederick Buechner has written about an experience of mystery that calls us to pilgrimage. And sometimes that can happen. We just have an encounter with the Holy Spirit in some way that we know we have to follow, and it's going to mean a move in some way. Yesterday in our conversation, several shared about the moment when they knew it was time to leave Redeemer and to move out into what God was leading them into. It was a moment of mystery, but it was a true moment, a moment when they knew it's time. And when we came alongside them as the church that remains and said, yes, we know it's time, we're with you. We want to send you in love and to continue to be with you and to pray with you and to walk with you. Those of you who have returned this weekend are on pilgrimage from Redeemer. I want you to understand that. You're travelers on mission to a holy place of God's calling. You're not wandering aimlessly, even if it might feel like it. Although I think in life there are times for wandering. That's not always a bad thing. But you are embracing the adventure that you have been prepared for, even if it feels much larger than you. And of course, it is larger than you. That calls to mind the wisdom, I think, of the Celtic Christians about pilgrimage. Richard Foster has written about this. He says, pilgrimage, you know, that sort of dynamic where the precise directions to somewhere are often awkward to find, and you're not quite sure why you came or what it was you were looking for, or even, why did we do this? But if you find it, or it finds you, Foster says, words cannot easily convey what has happened because it becomes part of the journey that continues. And you know it's right. What about the rest of us? What about those who remain, who have remained? We're also on sacred pilgrimage. We're moving and we're growing. We're just doing it in one place. We're sending what is most precious to us into God's greater mission. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Now, I always used to think of this verse in the abstract, right? Sort of like, Lord, send them out there, whoever they are. You know, we know there's a harvest there somewhere. Send someone into something, right? But this kind of prayer that Jesus says to pray is not abstract. It's about specific work among a particular people that we know. And when the Lord says pray about something, that's often an invitation to open our hearts in obedience. Not a wish for God to move on someone else, but the openness to say, maybe the Lord's speaking to me. Yes. You see, if we have the means to meet a need, we should meet it. So when we pray, when we lay hands on people that we love and we send them, we're taking part of us and we're surrendering that to God. It's a generosity that mirrors God's own lavish, abundant pouring out, self-emptying, if you will. And those of us who have been here a while, we know what that's like. We know the experience of that. We know the joy of it. We know also what feels like desolation in it, just because of the grief of parting. But God fills that with his own presence. The dream I shared with you is for us, that is, those who remain. Because we could desire to fence in and protect our treasures, the people that God has brought to us for his purposes. We could say, we're not going to let them go. You just stay right here. We've locked the doors. You can't get out. The moment we do that is when we begin to diminish and die as a people. But in giving freely and loving openly in faith and in trust, we live into the joy of the psalm that we said today. We enter his courts with thanksgiving, and we know the goodness and the mercy of the Lord. So today, that's really what we're celebrating. We're celebrating our privilege to participate in the greater mission of God, to restore, to redeem, and to reconcile, receiving his kingdom. And really, it's not about us, is it? It's not about us. It's ultimately a celebration of God's goodness and his faithfulness that endures from age to age. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for all who have returned. I thank you for those who are here that have stayed and those that are staying. Those that aren't sure if they're to be sent or when. Lord, that's your work. So come, Holy Spirit, and fall on your people that we would be brought to a new place, even today, transformed, and we would move as pilgrims to the place in our hearts where you would have us to go. We thank you. We trust you. We love you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.